Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
You're listening to All the Shit I've Learned Abroad. I'm Andrea Gillis.
And I'm Steph Page. We're two Canadian expats now living in Australia and the UK.
Between the two of us, we've been through the ringer in our travels, experiencing missed flights, volcanic eruptions, and even a terrorist attack.
It's not all that extreme, though. We've also experienced heartwarming, life-changing moments and met amazing people along the way. So kick back and listen to All the Shit I've Learned Abroad.
Welcome to another episode of All the Shit I've Learned Abroad. I'm Andrea.
And I'm Stephanie.
Hey, Steph.
Why do I do that every week? I can't stop.
I don't know. It's like your new like sign-on. Like
I pep
thing.
Like I pep talk myself. I'm like, don't do that this week. And it just comes out of my mouth.
I like it. It really adds some pep into the beginning of our episodes. Because, and you know, I have no pep today. So you've got to drive all the pep. It's like 35 degrees in London. Mm-hmm. It's too fucking hot. I mean, I've got no energy. We don't really have like air conditioning here. It's not really a thing because we only need it for like 3 days a year.
Yeah.
But it's been this hot for like 4 days, and frankly, I'm over it. I'm just too tired. I'm like, bring on the balmy 10 degree rainy summer weather that we're used to.
All right. So a few weeks ago, we put out a question on our Patreon asking our Patreon donors what topic they want to hear. And of all the topics, making money while traveling was the one they wanted to hear.
Yeah, that surprised me. I don't know why.
That surprised me too. I think because travel, like, we're all poor. It doesn't
basically
matter
yeah.
how much we save to travel, we spend it all traveling. So we're always poor.
That's true. And I feel like maybe after COVID, I feel like more people are maybe going to go for those like long trips now, like as in like quit their job and maybe go traveling for a few months.
Yeah.
When this is all over. And maybe that's why people are like, how can I actually, because obviously you save up before you go on your travels.
Yep.
But it's like, what can you do while you're traveling to keep money flowing so you can travel for longer?
Yes.
And this is why. That's my thinking, why people want us to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to caveat, I was going to say, I have no experience in doing this. I mean, I've never really traveled long term. But Steph, I feel like you have a few tricks up your sleeve in terms of earning money while traveling.
I do. So I'm going to start. We'll talk about like my bread and butter, how I've been making money for years while traveling. Mm-hmm. And then we'll go into kind of the short term things I've done. And some of them I haven't told anyone. Like, I haven't even told you because some of them are pretty shady. Like,
oh God. Do I want to know?
Patreon decided. Everyone wants to know, so it's coming out today.
I love that I thought I knew everything about you, but here we are. I'm going to learn something new today. I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
Okay, well, my bread and butter. So I'm a project manager by trade. That is what I was doing when I was working an office job years back. And I quit that job in 2015. And what I did at that time was there's a number of different project management softwares. I learned those softwares in and out, all the functionality, everything about them. And you don't actually have to be a project manager to do this. And then I set up my own company and I became a partner company with those softwares. So when people buy the software, it's pretty much transactional. They buy it.
Right.
The company provides the software. And then if you want any kind of training, ongoing support, anything like that, they'll refer you to their partners.
So you're just like outsource sort of train. Like in my company I work for, like obviously anyone that uses our products or software, like we would give the training, but we're hired by the company. So what you're saying is these companies just outsource to independent companies like yours, which is easy to set up. It's like you said, anyone can kind of, I mean, as long as you know.
Yeah, as long as you know what you're talking about. Bingo. Yeah. And I've done a lot of online training, a lot of online support. I've done in-person training and I travel to it, and that corporations will pay me to travel to them. They'll pay all my travel expenses and then obviously my fee on top of that. So that's kind of my bread and butter. And then as the years went by, I learned a lot of other softwares that kind of go hand in hand. It's this whole digital transformation era that we're in. So DocuSign, electric signatures, I became a partner of them. Yeah. And that's what I do. I implement software, train companies.
Right now, well, in 2020, like you said, we do live in that tech era. I work in tech as well. I obviously don't freelance though. I work for a company, but, and again, we've mentioned this even with COVID, a lot of companies now are turning remote. So even if you didn't say you're not outsourcing your work or say you're not the third party, there's, I think, a lot of companies that are hiring people now to work remotely full time.
Yeah.
And that could mean traveling all the time and having a sort of Monday to Friday, 9-to-5 job. Granted, you might need to work funny hours if, you know, say you're working for a US company or UK company, but anyone looking to kind of have a steady job and be involved in an industry that's always kind of moving forward, start looking into tech.
Mm-hmm. And there's obviously a trade-off for this. So like you touched on, I work at all hours of the night sometimes. So it could be, you know, I work all day or I could be up at 2, 3, 4 in the morning for conference calls. Some nights I'm going to bed at 6 a.m. And it really throws you out of whack. That's one of the trade-offs. And then the other is that a lot of times when I'm traveling, and you've seen this a lot, Andrea, most people when they think of vacation and time off, they're unplugged, they're turned off. I'm always turned on.
Yeah. Like,
when I'm traveling, I usually need to spend at least 4 hours or so a day in a cafe to work, get things done. It really does cut into the kind of travel experience, but it is what it is.
It's definitely fun being your travel companion.
Yes.
When you're always taking conference calls.
Yes.
I also then have to sit in the cafes with Steph while she's doing meetings. I'm usually sitting there with a glass of wine, though.
Yeah. And you've sat with me, you know, pulled off in the side of the road where I'm on a conference call. We'll pull off to the road in Iceland. We've done that one. There's been times where, you know, if we start talking about anything confidential, I'm booting you out of the car in the middle of a random country.
That's happened. Yeah. I mean, I should just stop traveling with you.
No, never. So that's kind of how I've made my big money for years.
Add on to that as well. I know a lot of people, again, talking about tech and how you can make money remotely and while traveling. A lot of travelers train themselves up in things like SEO, so search engine optimization, which you can work with a lot of brands or like small businesses even in doing this for them. And a lot of time that's something that clients will look to outsource. Yeah. And once you learn how to do it, I've done a little bit of it. And quite frankly, I don't enjoy it. I find it quite boring. So it's probably why I'm not an expert at it. But for people that do learn how to do it properly and efficiently, they can make like pretty decent money doing it. And you can just put your services up on, I mean, there's tons of apps and sites now. I think there's one called Fiverr that a lot of people use over in the UK. I don't know if that's in Australia as well, but
it is.
And so you'll see a lot of people on there that, you know, offer SEO. Also, like HTTP, like building websites. I mean, it's not actually as difficult as you guys think it is. I've built a website before. I mean, it's not a fancy schmancy website, but if you learn how to do some of these things, you can outsource this work, outsource your work while you're on the road.
Yeah. And then also too, like I have a girlfriend who she's a specialist in Salesforce and we give each other referrals. So she does Salesforce implementation and then when they want DocuSign, she sends them to me. So there's, it becomes a little bit of a community too, this outsourcing consulting world, and you get to know more people and you get referrals from the companies themselves, referrals from other consultants. It's a really good setup if you're dedicated. You only get out of it what you put in.
Yeah, I think you have to be very proactive. I mean, some people work better reactively where they're told what to do and they need direction, whereas this stuff, you got to hustle a bit, right? Like, it's starting your own business, essentially. That is what it is, you know?
It is.
It's starting your own company. It's being an expert in something. You have to teach yourself how to do these things. But yeah, if you put the time in, it'll be worth it.
Mm-hmm. Now, the short-term ones are the funny ones.
Okay. I'm like excited to hear these ones.
The ways I've kind of made a little more instant cash.
That's what we want, instant cash. We don't want to put the time in. How do we make that fast cash?
Okay. So step one, I only did this for a brief period of time when I was single, obviously, but I did the whole cam girl thing.
Oh, God. What?
Yeah, I did the cam girl thing.
Like fully? Like you were like full on like doing stuff on camera?
No, I didn't do the cam girl thing. But if anyone else wants to.
Well, you could. I no shame. My cousin, he had now an ex-girlfriend, but she did it. She was a lovely girl. I didn't judge. I'm like, make your money. She made good money from doing it.
I'm in a few digital nomad groups and some of the girls in there have done it and they were like, I made a lot of money. But so yeah, to each their own. No, I haven't done it, though. I always joke about it.
It didn't actually surprise me when you did say that, though. I'm like, yeah, I could see you doing that.
Andrea.
Well, good. I mean, I'm just being honest. But yeah, guys, it's 2020. Like, if you still have a problem with sex workers, you need to get over it.
Whop.
There should be no shame in that type of work.
Okay, this is going to be really boring now, actually, compared to that. But market research groups.
So is that like you doing surveys?
So no, market research groups are where, and you have to look up the legitimate companies before you go to a place. And you would only do this, you know, if you're settling down for a month or more in a country, or even if you're an expat, it's a great place to get started. Market research groups will typically pay you anywhere from $100 to $500, depending on what's involved.
Oh, it's like a focus group, isn't it? Or they...
Bingo.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah, so I always register when I know I'm going to be in a country for a chunk of time for market research groups, and I've done so many. And you show up, they give you cash when you leave.
Yeah.
And then, too, in different places, they're like, oh, you know, we're short for people tomorrow. We'll send you $100 per referral if you can fill the room for us. Like...
Yeah.
I've paid thousands and thousands of dollars from market research groups.
I think some of those, I've looked into some of those as well. Not that I've looked into any to like do them, but I'm always just a bit curious. But I knew a guy in college that used to do these all the time. And he used to come into class and be like, oh, I did another like focus group last night. And some of them were hilarious. Like he had to drink a bunch of different milk the one day. Oh. And like he had photos and like some, I don't know if it was like filtered and unfiltered milk, but basically he's like, I sat there for 2 hours yesterday and just drank different kinds of milk. And the photos he showed us, like some of them looked like brown, like not chocolate milk. It looked disgusting. And I'm like, do you even know what you were drinking? He's like, no, not really. I'm like, that's gross. And then I dated a guy once that he was strapped for cash. Surprise, surprise. Every guy I've ever dated. And he wanted to do, I think he had found one of these focus groups. And he was explaining it to me. And he's like, yeah, basically, I just have to sit in a room for like 2 weeks. And I'm like, what? What do you mean? And I was reading it. And essentially, they were injecting him with something like the flu. And they would monitor him being like ill for 2 weeks. And so I'm like,
that would actually be a clinical trial.
That's it, yeah. And I was kind of like, do you really want to do this? I think I talked him out of it, but...
Okay, well, coming out of that, I've definitely done some clinical trials.
Oh, you have? Oh, God, what did you have to do?
So they can actually pay. I've seen ones that pay $5,000.
Yeah, no shit.
They pay a lot of money. I did not do any of the ones where I was like... where there was really much risk associated with it. I've done ones that kind of quiz you about mental health and they do a lot of psychological questioning. I've done ones like that. And then I did do one where they injected me. This is one.
Oh, no.
I was really poor years ago. But what they injected me with was, it was the meningitis vaccination, but I'd already had it in Canada. And the country I was in at the time were going to the vaccination that Canada was already on. So you already had it. Yeah. So I was like, this isn't a risk for me. Like, I know this is fine.
But did they know you already had it?
Yeah, I disclosed everything. And yeah, they paid me $1,000 for that.
It's like, easy money. I mean, I don't know if I would go as far as letting someone inject something in me.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd ever be that desperate. I'd probably do the cam girl first before I... Yeah, actually, I would. I'd go cam girl first because you probably make better money and your health is not at risk.
Yeah. Just wear like a bunny mask, like a face mask, and then no one knows.
What? No, show my face.
I don't know
my
why.
My face is one of my best features. I'll just be a cam girl where I only show my face and people will pay me just to see my face.
That'd be so good. All you got to do is work on your expressions, your lustful expressions. God,
hey, I'm sure there's people that are into like some weird kink like that. Where they're just like, guys, I'm going to set up an OnlyFans account after this where I'm, if you guys could just subscribe, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways. So clinical trials, focus groups are great. I mean, I do the online surveys just kind of, I was almost about to say for fun. It's not for fun. I mean, it's not really fun filling in surveys, but I just kind of do it if I'm like sitting around with nothing to do. And I mean, it takes a lot of time. Like, this is not a great way. Online surveys, you're not going to get rich fast by any means.
No.
I probably make about £50 a year doing surveys. So, like,
sometimes
everyone
there's
always...
so much satisfaction. You're like, I really earned this £50.
Yeah. I mean, but if you think about it, again, if I'm just sitting on the couch watching TV, like, whatever, spend literally 10 seconds doing an online survey and they give me like 15 pence. So I'm like, whatever. And then over a year, I'm like, there's £50. That's a night out. But it's not going to fund your year-long traveling.
Right.
Or year-long travels.
I mean, most
definitely
of these
not.
Aren't. These are like for when you need something. But that's you kind of tied in. So I've also done a fair number of secret shopping missions. I've probably made, I want to say, in the past couple years, like $3,000 or $4,000. And I don't even do it like dedicated. I kind of go in bouts, but when I moved to Australia, it was really good just for, as an expat, getting me out of the house, walking around the neighborhoods, kind of getting to know the roads. I didn't know anybody. So there were days where like, that's what got me up and out and walking and moving. And I was doing them so much at one point that Andrew was like, are you okay? I'm like, I have a purpose and it's secret shopping.
Hey, I think any job that you do, do it well and enjoy it. So maybe that was your calling in life. Maybe it is your calling in life, secret shopper.
Yeah, maybe.
In Australia, though, I signed up to like a secret shopper website or whatever, third party like company here that my friend did as well. And I did like a couple missions, as we'd call them. But here they pay you in like... it's not always money. Like, you'll get, like, gift cards.
Yeah.
You know, or you'll eat out at a restaurant and you get, like, obviously your meal comped. And then they'll give you, like, a gift card to, like, Amazon or something. So the ones here, it's a bit like, oh, do I want a gift card? Like, I want the cash. I mean, I'm sure there are ones in London and the UK that pay. I just probably don't know what they are. But is the one that you did cash?
Yeah. So all the ones I did here were cash. And you get paid X amount per mission. You know before you accept it how much you get paid and what's involved. Mm-hmm. They can range anywhere from like $3 to like walking into a grocery store and being like, is this product stocked? Is it fully stocked? And, you know, are the labels facing forward? Boom.
Right.
$3.
Every dollar and every penny, it adds up, right?
Well, and I would just do those ones when I was grocery shopping. Like, I was already there. I'm yeah. like, oh, well. And then, yeah, and obviously there's more expensive ones where they want you to engage with someone and give feedback when you leave the store on how knowledgeable that person was. That, yeah, then there's the free lunch ones, free dinners. Yeah, and I was like a pro. The yeah. people from this app were like emailing me directly, being like, Steph, can you do this one?
That's amazing. Well, and even if it's not paid in cash, this could be a good one for travelers. Like, just if it is being paid in, you know, meals. Like, some of them would be like, you have a night out where you get like a full, like there was one here all the time for Pizza Express, which is like a big pizza chain here. And you'd go in and they would tell, like on the mission, it would tell you like, order this pizza and we'll pay for your meal and a non-alcoholic drink. And so for travelers, that'd be great if you did that like a few nights a week and you got a free meal. Plus on top of that, if they're paying you some cash to do it as well. That's like, I mean, I guess you'd have to be in, you know, depends on where you're traveling. Like, do they have these in, you know, some obscure like little island in Timbuktu where you're traveling to? Who knows? But any big cities, definitely, like urban areas, for sure they have these.
Well, and that's why even in Canada, where they, I had some where you get free tickets to see a hockey game, you get a $50 food voucher to get food, like you got a full on, like the night you got a merch gift card to buy merch at the gift store, like the value of it was over $500. And that is like a full on date night. You just have to give, like you have to build your way up. They only offer the high level ones to people they know are really good. But yeah, I've had, and this is, the thing is so many people for years, even when I was unemployed, like a job hunting years back, people were always thought I was like doing all these things that cost me so much money. And I was like, I don't pay for any of this. Like,
I've got a friend of mine here, they do the same thing where he signed up to one of these and he has a full-time job, but he is just Mr. Frugal. Like, he does not like to pay for anything. And so him and and these are actually my friends that I went to Spain with, but yeah, basically any of their nights out, it's all funded by either like his secret shopper mission or like vouchers that he finds online.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, I need to learn a thing or two from my friend. But I like it. More fast cash. Give us some more. What are some other ones you've done while traveling?
This one is a fairly common one, so it won't surprise you, but then I'll explain a little more. So dog and house sitting.
Oh, yeah.
It's very common. A lot of people do dog and house sitting just in exchange for a free place to stay. So they don't necessarily get paid, or if they do, it's a very small amount. I met a girl who, I'm trying to think how to say this. She was like, oh, why don't you dog sit? When I told her I was, you know, looking for more job, like more opportunities in Australia rather than North American.
Right.
I was like, oh, you know, that's not really what I'm looking for. Not up my alley. And she was like, oh, okay. And then she kind of sent me a few. She's like, I know you don't do this, but can you help me out? She dog and house sits for like the wealthiest of wealthy people. So when I say house sitting, you are staying in houses that are worth like at least millions of dollars. And it was, it's kind of more like an experiential thing.
Right.
And a lot of them, you'll even say like, yep, I'll do that. Can I have my boyfriend over or whatever? And they're like, yeah, that's fine. As long as they know ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like a little staycation for free also.
Well, and also if they are getting paid. So people that have that much money.
Oh, they
like
pay.
They pay because what they think is, you know, like $30 to rich people is nothing. So they're like, oh, we couldn't possibly pay them $30 a day. That's, you know, in their head. You don't watch Arrested Development, but there's a great line where Lucille says to Michael, how much could a banana cost, Michael? $10? Where like she has no idea what like basic things cost. And I remember when I was younger and I used to babysit, you know, I was like 13, 14. And I used to babysit for this one family that had a lot of money. Like, they were pretty rich. And I remember I'd babysit for like an hour and they'd always give me like $60, $70 at the end of the night. And to the point my dad even had to intervene. He's like, you are giving her too much money. And they're like, it's our money. It's our choice. We'll do what we want with it.
Ooh, I like them.
But anyway, so my point being, dog sit, house sit for these rich people because they're going to pay you really well.
It is lucrative. Maybe not. Yeah.
Yeah.
That one, to like find those opportunities, you really have to suss them out and you know, take a couple jobs, and then, you know, once you're good at what you do, people recommend you. Yeah. So all of this, you kind of grow, get better opportunities the more you do it.
Oh, I was going to say, you even touched on staying somewhere, though, even just for accommodation. Like, we've talked about this before, hostels. Hostels are actually a great way. If you work work in a hostel, you can earn your keep there, right? So a lot of people that stay and are living in hostels long term, they also work there. So it's a great little exchange. They might even pay them a little bit as well, depending. I mean, it's obviously going to be dependent on the hostel, but that's going to be your biggest trade-off, right? Like, most of the time when you are traveling, accommodation is what is going to cost the most. Yeah. So, I mean, if you're up for hostel living, obviously we know not everyone is. And again, if you're, you know, if you're getting that free room and board, it's obviously usually not like a private room. You will be put in a dorm. But, you know, Steph and I, we met people when we first moved to London, people that were doing that in our hostel, and they'd lived there for like months, and they loved it because they could kind of take time off whenever they wanted. They got a free bed, and, you know, it was never like a permanent thing. They would do it for a few months and then maybe settle down more in London. But yeah, tons of people do that.
Yeah. And there's even websites dedicated to it as well. Like in Australia, off the top of my head, I know aussiehousesitters.com.au. Mm-hmm. And it kind of works on the same premise as like Airbnb or Couchsurfing, where you do a house sit, they leave you a review, and then you can get another house sit. Some of them pay you, some of them don't. But you can travel. And a lot of Australians, not right now, obviously, but a lot of Australians, when they travel, they're gone for months.
Right. Yeah.
So you could find a place to stay for months. Yeah. So that's just one way to save a little on accommodation as well. And then the final way I really thought of that I have made money is a little bit of role play.
Okay. Is this more cam girl stuff? Where are we going with this?
No. So when the ones I've done, I'm sure there's other fields that do this as well, is for GP students who are practicing to become general practitioners, doctors. So when
I know what a GP is. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for clarifying.
Just making sure. when a lot of them have kind of, especially now, online courses and online exams. So, or you can do this in person as well, where you go and you pretend to be a patient and you are role playing. So you go in and you're like, yeah, this is what's wrong with me. And they're going to ask you guiding questions, and they're being graded based on, are they getting to the root cause? So you're given a scenario. It's almost like a murder mystery dinner. Like, you're given a scenario. Like, you have your character. Okay. And you go in and play it out.
So you're an actor.
Yes.
Yes. I like
added
that
to my IMDb.
Yeah. I can just imagine your, like, resume with your headshot on it. You know, like black and white. And you're like, hi, I'm here to play the role of patient number 4 who has a ruptured spleen.
Oh, it hurts, doctor. It hurts.
Oh, my God. I can't imagine you being a great actor, Steph.
I'm not. I'm horrible. I laugh at everything.
You do. I like that. This actually reminded me of one of the ways I made a bit of quick cash when I first moved to London. I did extra work for the BBC, which this is another great way.
Yes.
If you can find, when I did it, I knew someone that knew someone. That's how I kind of got in. But if you go onto websites like Craigslist, Kijiji, Gumtree in the UK, there's always casting calls for...
You got to be careful, though. This is also how people get murdered.
Well, yes, of course. But obviously, as we say, do your research. Always do your research.
Yeah.
For the legit ones that are posted, I mean, you've got to be careful for anything that, you know, if you want to buy a bike off one of these sites, you have to be careful. But
yeah,
the casting calls looking for extras, obviously research it, look at, you know, who the production company is, whatever. But extra, like, you can make pretty good money doing this. So I did it for, as I said, the BBC. Anyone that's living in the UK, there's a couple episodes of Spooks, which in Canada, it's called MI5 because you can't say that word in Canada, but it's perfectly fine in the UK. And
you can't say that word in Canada?
No. Well, it's like, it's a derogatory, like, racial slur considered in North America, but in the UK, it's not. It's, I think it's more of an American, anyways, that's why it's called MI5 in North America, but in the UK it is called Spooks. And the other show was called Hustle. So both of these, I got paid like £400.
Oh my God.
For like a day's worth of work. Yeah. I mean, they were long days. They were, we're talking like 12, 16 hour days of just literally as an extra, like walking back and forth. But there's one episode of Spooks where we're in Trafalgar Square and there's a guy that gets shot down by like a sniper. Anyways, I'm standing right behind him. You can see the back of my head. So I'm kind of famous.
Oh, well, yes, you are.
But at the time when I moved to London, I had a job, but it paid nothing. So anytime there was this extra work that came up, I would just book a day off work and go do the extra work for the BBC. And then I'd get paid like, you know, £300-£400. Yeah. So it's good money if you can get into it. And as I said, you can find some of these jobs like online. Because again, and an extra, you know, you don't have to have acting experience. You were literally only there for editing continuation purposes, which I thought was hilarious when we would do these BBC shows and there would be extras there that were really trying to get into acting. And they would say things to the director like, should I walk slower? Should I walk faster? And the director's like, I don't care. Just walk. Like, you're just there for editing purposes. So it's not hard, guys.
I have not done that, but I will put that on my list. What a fun experience, anyways.
I mean, it's super fun. And as I said, you can see the back of my head.
Yeah. I was in a few music videos back in the day. Like,
oh, I remember that. Sean Desmond. Some really bad like Canadian R&B artists.
Oh, yeah. I think the best one was Soul Decision.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. There was that. I was on, I mean, granted, I used to work in radio back in the day, but there's a for those Canadians listening, there used to be a network called Cosmo TV.
Mm-hmm.
That was basically like Cosmo Mag. Anyways, one of the girls I worked with was a host on it, and then they did this like Halloween special, and we were all at this party and we were all dressed up, and there's a scene of me, I'm like, I don't know, like a dead bride or something, like a zombie bride. And they made me like do this like scary thing going into the camera. Anyways, this episode still airs in Canada, like, to this day.
I want to see this.
10, 11 years later, and every year I get messages from someone being like, did I just see you on Cosmo TV? I'm like, yes. It was so old, though. Like, it's so old. It's ridiculously so old, good. And it's just, like, embarrassing, because I look like an... Anyways, they just told... You know, it's one of those where I just did what I was told, but...
Nice.
But, yeah, I didn't get paid for that, either. That was not paid work. So, guys, if you're going to be an extra, make sure it's paid work. Yes. None of this like, oh, it'll get you, you know, some experience in front of the camera. No.
Well, and people that's get paid the for thing this. I think with all of these is the scam things you can recognize too. Like, you should be getting paid for any work you do, and you most certainly should not be paying someone else for anything.
No, it's too many people that think they're models. They're like, oh, I'm doing a modeling gig, but I have to pay the photographer. I'm like, bitch, you are not a model. You are paying that's for not a even a scam. That's like, yeah, you're paying someone to give you a photo. If you're a photographer, that's a great way to make extra money, guys.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Go find some people that want to be a model and take their photos.
Aww.
Don't scam people. That's not what I'm saying.
I do have a few friends who, and I'll just touch briefly because I can't really speak to what they've done, but how they've made money. And this is online economy, guys. Like, there's so many, there's a million things you could do. But I have friends who do resume writing. You can charge $500 a pop for that.
It's expensive. I've been looking into this now with obviously COVID and layoffs happening at my company. And I was kind of like, do you know what? Maybe it's time to spruce up my CV just to have it ready, just in case. These companies, yeah, they charge, like in the UK, it's like £200 to write out your resume or your CV or your resume. It's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money in it. I have friends who do tutoring and teaching English online. So they teach people all around the world.
Teaching English is a good one for sure. And this is one of those things that we should feel very privileged that English as a first language, you could literally go anywhere and teach it. And it's good money, and a lot of countries, you know, they need, like, they're looking for people that can come and teach them proper English as a second language.
Yeah. Anywhere where English isn't the first language, you know, so many parents want their children to have that edge. So they're looking for tutors online.
Yeah.
And they're looking for native English speaking tutors too. And then you actually touched on earlier Fiverr. There's other websites like that as well, like Upwork, where you can post your skills or you can look at jobs people are posting and just get jobs there that way. So money on the road.
Well, there you go.
But.
Yeah.
There's one thing I want to tell everyone to please not do.
What's that?
For anyone who has travel in their bio on Instagram, I think at this point we've all gotten those messages that are like, do you want to make money while traveling? Buy my course for only $90 and you could be making $100,000 a year. No, those people are making their money selling courses. That is their money. Like, if you want to sell a course, if you have an expertise, build a course and sell it. But these scams that are like, oh, learn all about how I make money traveling. They make money by selling the course. Like, you don't need to pay for that to know that. I don't know if it's pyramid or if it's just individuals who do it. And then once you buy it, you bought it. I have a couple people I've chatted with where we looked like at ones that have been sold and you really don't learn much. I mean, if you're internet savvy, they're very 101.
Isn't that like when you get like the person from high school you haven't spoken to in forever and they message you on Instagram or Facebook? They're like, hey, how's it going? Yeah. Oh, I'm doing really well. I'm working for this great marketing company. Let me tell you about them.
Yeah.
And you're like, and I remember there was a girl from my high school that did exactly this a couple years ago. And I called her. I said, are you just trying to sell me something right? She's like, no. I just wanted to check in and say hi. And I'm like, delete. Yeah. Unfriend.
Yeah. I get that. And I always write back. I want to be like, I'm sorry. I'm very anti-MLM. No, so these things aren't MLM, like they're not multi-level marketing schemes.
Okay.
It's just like travelers who are making a course, which I mean, I don't fault them for that. But the premise that if you buy the course, you're going to make a shit ton of money too from what you learn in it. No, you're not.
No, just learn a skill on your own. And that's the thing. A lot of these like online, the stuff we talked about, like learning SEO or like HTTP or what step did, like you can, there's a lot of free courses online.
Yeah.
There's tons. You can do all this on your own. You do not need to be buying courses.
Yeah. So a lot of ways I've made money over the years.
Make money, make money,
Yeah.
That's how you guys can do it and extend your travels. That's the nice thing about it. If you have money that is continuously coming in or you're strapped for cash or you need a place to stay while you're traveling.
And if you guys have any funny stories on how you've made money, we want to hear them, especially if you've done the cam girl thing.
DM my God, yes.
DM us those details.
I want to hear from the cam girls. Again, guys, no shame. Do it.
Oh, the cam boys. Makes you money. Actually.
Yeah, cam boys as well. Yeah, true.
Yeah.
All right. There you have it. Great. Well, thanks for listening. I hope you guys make a ton of money during your travels.
Money, money, money.
Money. All the Shit I've Learned Abroad is a travel podcast focused on anything and everything related to travel. You can listen to us on multiple platforms from iTunes to Google Play Music and more. And with that, please, if you have a chance, give us a 5-star review on iTunes or whatever platform you listen on. That drives us up the charts and really, really helps us out. Want to support us on Patreon? Find us over at Should Have Learned Abroad Pod, and donations start as low as just $1. Also, if you could follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Should Abroad Pod, and Facebook by searching all the Should Have Learned Abroad. Thanks so much for listening.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.